We're in Yerodea, Simen Reish Ayin Hey, or Ayin Reish Hey, because we don't want to say Ra'ah, 275. So we are introduced over here to the concept of a Parsha that is Psucha, and a Parsha that is Stuma. Like, I guess, open, literally you just say open and closed. So here's the story. So the Braisa says, Shabbos Daf Kuf Beis, I believe, that Kuf Gimel, that if you make, okay, we haven't defined it. What does it mean that the Parsha, meaning the paragraph, is open or the paragraph is closed? Okay, but if you switch it, and the paragraph that's supposed to be open is closed, or one that's supposed to be closed is open, the Sefer Torah is puzzled. So this is very significant. And there's very many opinions as to what it means, open parsha and a closed parsha. So the Torah says there's very many opinions, and I am only going to tell you what my father, the Rosh, says. And he brings down the opinion of the Rosh. The Beis Yosef goes on to bring the opinion of the Rambam. And what makes the sugya extra interesting and exciting is that what the Rambam calls psucha, let's say, what the Rambam calls psucha, the Rosh calls stuma. Oh, really? I mean, they mamish go head to head, not on everything, but there are a number of different cases where they go head to head. So, which means the Sefer Torah is either pasul according to the Rambam or pasul according to the Rosh. Now, when we talk about a Parsha Psucha and a Parsha Stuma, so you open up a regular Chumash, and you see, when I was a kid, we used to play a game called Chumash Baseball. I guess we were very bored in Shul on Shabbos. You open up a Chumash, if you get to a pay, I think it was worth 10 points, that's a Parsha Psucha. We haven't defined that term. And as we were saying, it's very complicated to define the term. A Samech was a Parsha Stuma. I think that's less common. Well, here, it's more common on this page that we open to, but the Samech was worth, I think, 50 points. And then, if you open up to Chazak, whoa, Chazak, Chazak, and Chazak, then they got a home run. That was worth 100 points. Okay, that was the Chumash Baseball from the Young Israel Hillcrest back in the 1970s. Okay. So, okay, let's see what the Shulchan Aruch has to say. So Simin 275 Reish Ayin Hey or Ayin Reish Hey Sifal Parsha Psucha Sheasa Stuma or Stuma O Stuma Sheasa Psucha Yiganez, put it in Geniza Shamos, you can't read it, bury it. Now what if it's here? This is a very specific scenario. It's supposed to be Psucha. You made it Stuma. So this is Stuma. You made Psucha. What if it's not supposed to be the end of a paragraph at all, and you made the end of a paragraph? Or what if it is supposed to be the end of a paragraph, and you did not make it the end of a paragraph? So the Shach points out over here, V'chein, Shach, Sivkat, and Aleph, V'chein, im hifzik v'iniach panui b'makom she'ein bo parsha, if it's not supposed to be a break, o she'kosu k'darko, v'lo hifzik b'revach b'makom ha'parsha, you ignored the fact that it's supposed to be either a psucha or a stuma. Both of those cases, psula. That's from the Rambam. Then the Shach brings down the opinion of the Bach. Va'bach kos of the Das HaTur, not like that. Diminiach panur b'mokum she'ein tzarech, ain't a psula b'di'evit. No, b'di'evit is not going to be puzzle if you left it open where it wasn't supposed to be open. D'davka psucha shosa stuma, stuma shosa psula psula. Only in these specific cases, psucha you made stuma, stuma you made psucha, but other what's it called? Other, I forgot the word in English already. Other ways of doing it that are wrong. Even though they're wrong, they're not going to pass the Sefer Torah. So says the Bach from the Tur, concludes the Shach, Ve'ein Dvarav Muchrachim. That I'm not convinced that he's right, says the Shach. And the Taz says the same thing. Okay.
Meaning he sides with the Rambam.
He sides with the Taz and the Shach. Correct. Right. They side with the Rama. Right. That even if you made a parsha where there wasn't supposed to be one, or you ignored the fact there was supposed to be one, all of those four scenarios are going to make it possible. How good. Now, can I fix it? So when it comes to tefillin, which we haven't learned in around 8 years, 7.5 years, when it comes to mezuzah, which Bezrat Hashem we will learn in the coming weeks and months, there it has to be written kesidron, in order. If you write out of order, it's complicated. Now, no, if you write out of order, it's puzzle. Now, if you make a mistake, so if you find a mistake, so basically you can erase, meaning scratch off whatever letters you need to scratch off, as long as you don't run into a Shem Hashem. Once you run into a Shem Hashem, you're finished, because you can't scratch off a Shem Hashem. By Sefer Torah, we don't have any such rule. If we did, we wouldn't have any kosher Sefer Torah, right? You find a mistake in the Sefer Torah, you fix it. And you now need to write a Sefer Torah in order. So if you messed up the parshios, in whatever way you messed it up, why can't you fix it? Why is it yigonis? How God knows, says Rama. V'yesh omrin demutu l'sakno, k'mo b'shar t'uyos. There are those that say that you can fix the psucha and make it a stuma, or stuma make it a psucha. And the meaning of the sofrim is in fact to fix it if they made such a mistake, if it's possible to erase. What does it mean, possible to erase? Shelo yipaga b'shem. You don't bump into a Shem Hashem, because you can't erase a Shem Hashem. So what are you going to do with Shem Hashem? You can't erase it. Oh, maybe you'll just cut it out of the cloth? No. Says Ramo, you're not doing it. Ke'eno lachtoch Hashem lasos nekovim b'yiriya. The option of cutting out the Shem Hashem and burying just that, and not having a hole in your Sefer Torah, is not an option. There's a whole deal in here in the Shachs of Katan Gimel. What's wrong with that? Is that a disgrace to the name of Hashem? Or is it a disgrace to the Sefer Torah? Or maybe it's both. Okay. Now, fixing this is complicated. Okay, look at the Taz. The Taz says, Sifkotun Beis, Yigonez, you're going to bury it. Hatam, De'ef, Shalasakin. You cannot correct a messed up parsha. A psucha that became a stuma, stuma became a stuma. Why not? She'ozo, Limcho, Ksas, Tevas, Lamat, Ksav, Shechlov, Ksav, Katun, Bishvil, Zeh. Okay, in order to make a psucha and a stuma, we don't yet know what they are, but you need to leave spaces. This amount of space, that amount of space. It's not like I made a mistake with the word, I erased the word, I redo the word, and everything is fine. You need to erase a lot, and then how are you going to leave the spaces that you need to leave in order to have a proper parsha psucha or proper parsha stuma? You have to erase a lot, and then you'd have to write much smaller in order to squeeze it all in. So we already learned back in Simin, I don't know what, earlier in Hilchos Sefer Torah, we already learned that you're not going to do that. You can't write different, you're not supposed to elongate letters and shrink letters and make the letters look different. Now, we did mention that that is in fact commonly done, but it's not what you're supposed to do. And therefore, there's no way to put in a bunch of spaces that you left out. You'd have to erase too much, and you'd have to scrunch it together in a way that you're not supposed to do. Oh, so look at the Taz now, Sifkat Beis. So he says, you can't fix it because you need to scrunch the letters together, make them smaller than regular. The Ein Zehidr, Kamosha Kosov and Simon Reish, Ayin Gimel Sif Beis. Like we saw in Reish, Ayin Gimel Sif Beis. Lo Yimai Teksav. You're not supposed to write the letters smaller than the rest of the Sefer Torah. V'zeh das ha-Rambam, says the Taz. Aval ha-yesh omrim, that the Ramah says you can fix it. Shur das ha-Rashba, which is the opinion of the Rashba, Sfirlu Da'id, Lo Yimai Teksav, Enu Ela Lechatchila. That halacha that we said, that you're not supposed to elongate letters, you're not supposed to scrunch them together, that is a din Lechatchila, She'yizor v'zeh shalom yomar dekach. You should do your best to make sure it doesn't come to that. But if it does come to that, like in this case, so instead of, you know, getting rid of the whole piece of parchment, so b'di'evet, it is okay to do that. And therefore, the Rambam says, I guess, that it's a l'chadchil, don't do it, and therefore don't do it. And the Rashba says, well, this is not a l'chadchil, this is a b'di'evet situation. So b'di'evet, you would be able to do that. Look at the Bera Gola Os Aleph. So this halacha that a psucha can't be a snu, a snu can't be a psucha, has a braisa and Shabbos and Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. He gives a very interesting Omer of Gemara, Bryce over there, going through the Aleph Beis with very interesting ideas how to understand it. The fact that it says over there that it's puzzle, or Yigare, sounds like the Rambam that it's no good. But why can't you fix it? So that's what the Taz is trying to explain to us. So that's what the Bear Gold now brings down for the Rosh. So it's not that it's not possible to fix it. It's just very complicated to fix it. And therefore, it's something that's not so practical. And that's the Shach also, Sifkat and Beit. Don't scrunch together the words and make them smaller. To leave the space that you need to create a parsha psucha or a parsha snuma. It would be okay if you did do that. Okay. So that is Sifaf. Let's take a look at Sifbeis. So Sifbeis gets into bottom line. Now, there's, again, many opinions. What's a psucha? What's a stuma? And there's even halacha recognizes the fact that there might be opinions that we're not even aware of, and we're not going to necessarily be so quick to pass the Sefer Torah if there might be an opinion like that, even though we're not familiar with the opinion. But let's see how, the Rambam and the Rosh argue to the point where the Sefer Torah is going to be passed according to one of them. But there's a way to make the Sefer Torah kosher according to the Rambam and the Rosh, and that's how we try to do it. Let's see. So in Yerdei Reish Ayin Hey, Ayin Reish Hey, 275, Sif Beis. B'tzuras Psucha, B'tzuras Stuma. When it comes to the form, how you make a Psucha, an open Parsha, and a closed Parsha, Yesh Machlokes Bein HaRambam V'Rosh. There's a Machlokes between the Rambam and the Rosh. V'yari Shemayim B'yetze Yeskulam V'yase B'inyan. And Yari Shemayim should fulfill both, and he should do it in the following way. By a parsha psucha, yisayim parsha shelefaneh be'emtza shita. You should finish the previous paragraph in the middle of the line. The yishdai besofa chalak, and you leave the end of the line empty. How empty? Kedei teisha osios, enough to write 9 letters. You leave a space of 9 letters at the end of the line, and then you start the next parsha. Biat chalichla barosh shita shetachter. And then you write the parasha underneath that from the beginning of the line. Here, I brought a tikkun. Yeah, you end in the middle of the line, and you leave the rest of the line blank, and that's called a psucha, according to the Rambam and the Rosh. Here, also, you finish, and you leave the rest of the line empty. Now, these are big, big spaces. You only need 9. Let's see if we can find something that has less space. Okay, I don't know.
Well, then what's the machlokes?
That's not where they argue. I didn't tell you the machlokes. Maybe I'll tell you the machlokes, but we didn't tell you the machlokes yet. So here's where they agree. And since they both agree, that's how you should do the psucha. Leave. You stop in the middle of the line. You leave the rest of the line blank, but you need to be at least 9 letters worth. And then the next one, you start on the next line. Like over here, it goes halfway through, and then you start on the next line. But it doesn't, it can go more than halfway through. You just need enough for 9. Here's a good one. Here, it goes almost to the end of the line. It's only a little bit of space, but it's 9 letters worth. Let's see, let's count what's underneath it. 1, the space counts, I guess. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, wow. This is exactly 9. Actually, this is not a good example, because this is this is a Haftorah. This is not from the Sefer Torah. This is Haftorah. It's not from the Chumash. All right. Doesn't matter. You get the idea. You have to leave over 9. 9 letters worth. But that was the general idea, even though that happened to be from the Navi and not from the Torah. Okay. That is a Parsha Psucha according to the Rambam and the Rosh. That's how it should be done, and that's how it is done. Good. What's a Parsha Stuma? Continues the Shulchan Aruch, the base. Uba Parsha Stuma, tamid yisayi Parsha shelefaneh betchila shita. You end the previous paragraph at the beginning of a line. It means you start the next line, but you only go in a little bit. The Aniyah Chalak, and then you leave a space, because they Tesha Osios. 9 letters worth of space. Okay, some say 3 letters is enough, but the Shulchan Aruch says 9 letters worth of space. And that says, follow the Shulchan Aruch. 9 letters worth of space. And at the end of that same line, you continue that you go into the next paragraph. Okay, so that's what we saw over here. So we look at our tikkun. Yeah, this is a stuma. You start the line, you leave 9 spaces, and then you in the same line you finish paragraph 1 and you start paragraph 2. According to the Rabban and the Rush, that's called the stuma, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch tells us to do it like this. Here's another example. You started the next line, you leave nine spaces, and then you go into the next, on the very same line, you go into the next paragraph. Now if this Vayomer would be on the next line, then that would be called the Psucha. According to everybody, right? Like over here. When you leave the end of the line blank, that's a Psucha. We're here. There's another good one. When you start the line, and then you leave a space of 9 letters worth, and then you continue with the next paragraph on the same line, that's called a stuma, according to everybody. And therefore, it says the Shulchan Aruch, Ve'lo yishane la'asu surah acheres. Do not do a different form of psucha and stuma. Lo la psucha ve'lo stuma. This is the way to do it. This is the where the Rambam and Rosh do not argue. Hagad notes, says the Rambam, if you can't work it out this way, if you can't fulfill both opinions, the Iker opinion, not like the Torah who only brings down his father, the Rosh, the Rambam's Iker opinion is the Rambam. The Rambam opinion is Iker. If you can't fulfill both opinions, when we come back, and then to Sefer Torah she'enik with the feet of, if I find the Sefer Torah that's not written properly with the part, the psuchos and stumas according to the Rambam, ain the posla. Don't be so quick to pasul such a Sefer Torah. Ki yesh gedolim she'esam svaros acheres bazeh. There are great people that have other opinions in this regard. So that's very, very fascinating. So he's saying, even though he didn't say if you did like the Rush with the Eved, it's okay. It sounds like he did something that looks like it's totally off. But the Eved, I guess, it's not covered to the Sefer Torah. And it could be that he has an opinion to rely on. It's interesting. So I didn't tell you so here. So let's look at the Tasif Katan here. Tasif Katan brings down two differences between the Rambam and the Rush. We didn't discuss at all the differences between the Rambam and the Rush. We just discussed what the Rambam and the Rush agree upon. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch told us to do it. So here, look at the Tasif Katan here. Shnei Plugtot Yesh Bein Rambam and the Rush. There are two machloks in between the Rambam and the Rush. Chad, the one. Dim Ose Mokom Panur B'tchilat Hashita. Let's say I leave the beginning of the line empty. We didn't see anything here with the beginning of the line empty. If you leave the beginning of the line empty, k'day teisha osios 9 that is worth, u'matchil ha'parasha be'emta shita, and you start the parasha in the middle of the line, zahu ha'urash ha'parasha is stuma l'ramam, aval ha'rash ha'v'psucha. The Rosh will say, if you start in the middle of the line, that's called a psucha. The Rambam says, no, that's called a stuma. So we never do that. Shenis, another machlokes, in Messiah b'sof hashita, if you end at the end of the line, oshish makom panui, there's empty space at the end of the line, so that should be a psucha according to everyone. But we said, how much space do you need? 9 letters worth. Ela she'eba fishiyatesh osios. Let's say you don't have 9 letters worth. So now what do you do? So you skip a line. The next line you leave blank. You start the next paragraph at the beginning of the next line. So you ended less than 9 letters to the end of the line. You skip the next line entirely. And then the next line, you start at the beginning of the line. The Rambam calls that a psucha. So those are two cases where the Rambam and the Rosh argue. They both agree that if you finish in the middle of the line and you have nine spaces, at least nine spaces until the end, that's a psucha, both according to Rambam and the Rosh. And they both agree that if you go into the next line and you leave nine spaces and then you continue the next parsha on the same line, that's also considered a stuma according to the Rambam and the Rosh, and therefore you go through the Sefer Torah or you go through the Tikkun, and here's a psucha. That's what you will see. You will not see the other cases because the other cases are getting involved in a major league machlokes between the Rambam and the Rosh. And we said that it is ma'akev. If you do it wrong, you're going to pass the Sefer Torah. So you want to do it right. There's a different discussion in Simon Lamed Beis. I think it's Sif Lamed Vav. How to write the paragraphs of the tefillin. Not the Shel Rosh, where it's four separate paragraphs. So just write the paragraph. But in the Shel Yad, how that's done. That's a discussion you can look up for homework. In Orach Chaim, Simon Lamed Beis. I think it's Sif Lamed Vav. So that is Yeridea, Simon 275, Sif Aleph and Beis.